Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Simon. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's bright and early here in Hawaii. Sun's just coming up. You can see it out there, I think.
Yep. And I'm hearing the cock crowing.
Yeah.
Or the rooster, whatever that is.
Roosters in the background.
Roosters.
Yeah. Roosters. Well, welcome to our first morning show.
Yeah. Morning routine show.
Morning routine show. Exactly. And I guess we had wanted to do this. We've been talking for a little while about doing this, maybe starting in September.
I'm speaking for myself. I have routines. They're all gone. And, you know, part of them is I do wake up and do a routine, but I leave the house early and do another set of routines. And as a result, I don't wake up and do a routine right now. I don't, which is crazy, but I haven't been.
Yeah. I feel like the motivation we had to do this morning routine show was that you and I both have morning routines and they mean a lot to us. And we know that a lot of people have morning routines and we wanted to share those routines. But we decided to start now because, like you just said, for all of us, whatever the routine was is out the window, right?
Yeah.
The kids aren't going to school or there's no job to leave for or carpool or whatever it was that you usually do in the morning, meditation or eat a donut. It doesn't really matter. You're not doing that same routine the way you did up until a week or 10 days ago.
And by the way, I'm hearing this from other people.
Yeah.
Two things. One, I'm out of my normal routine. Or for the first time, I need a routine.
Right. So. Exactly. The people who had routines, that's in total chaos. And the people who didn't have one are now sitting around all day, I imagine, like trying to figure out, what do I do? What defines morning? You even said, like, what is the difference now between Sunday and Monday? You know, you don't leave for church on Sunday or synagogue on Saturday or the office on Monday, right? Maybe you try to figure out how to do those online, but you don't go do them, right? You don't get dressed for them. You don't prepare for them in the way one traditionally has.
Yeah.
So I like to start my morning routine. I start with expressions of gratitude. So I try to think of five things that I'm grateful for literally before my feet touch the floor in the morning. And then I write them down in my little journal here. So I just thought maybe we could start by each sharing one thing we're grateful for as we live in the midst of a pandemic. And I can kick us off. This shows up sometimes as number one, sometimes as number five, but it's made the list every day. As I look back, it's made the list every day for the last week. And today I wrote still not sick. Some days I write still healthy, but I this morning woke up feeling still not sick. Like each morning that I wake up and I don't have a sore throat and I don't have a fever, I feel some just gratitude that I've got one more day that the crisis, the pandemic is out there. I know it's real, but it's not in this family, in this home. And so I woke up this morning feeling really grateful that I'm still not sick. How about you?
I'm going to go with clarity.
Say more about that.
Well, and I'm not going to say that I have it all day or have it every day, but one of the things that having routines gives me is clarity. And, you know, these are words. Clarity, like, puts me in a position to have discernment and think of that as, you know, an experience of what truly is happening around me. And then an ability to have some analysis of it. So it's content and context. Sort of like I can see what's happening here. And that puts me in a position to have the corny word I used a moment ago, discernment, which is decision-making. That's all it is. It's like, you know, being able to sort out where to go and what to do. So, you know, there are bad, challenging things going on right now. And it is pretty inarguably true that what I see behind you is beautiful. So there is still beauty around.
Yeah.
And having clarity, discernment allows me to just experience beauty even in the midst of difficulty, which makes the difficulty easier to find the clarity in the difficulty.
Yeah. Anyway. It's interesting that you mentioned clarity or discernment. You know, beginning to prepare for the show we were going to do starting in September, every day I would read about what people do for morning routines or morning rituals. You know, I've always had my own, not I'm not an expert on it, but it's what I've done. It's what's given meaning and structure and depth, I think, in a lot of ways to my life. But I started studying online, like, what do other people do? And everyone, studies show that you have more clarity and discernment, more ability to make decisions earlier in the day. It's interesting to me that they say, like, you leave out all your things the night before, like you set out the tea or the coffee or the clothes, because you don't want to waste your clarity of morning on small decisions, like which socks do I wear, right? You want to save morning clarity and morning discernment to make big decisions and to think critically about things. And so the big writing project, they say, is better to do first thing rather than doing it late in the day when your discernment has worn down. So it's interesting that clarity was on your mind, and that's sort of what the experts on morning routines say about what we're best at first thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I start with gratitude, and I appreciate you sharing yours. And then what I like to do is just sit quietly. So I'll do some kind of meditation, and I thought we could do it here, the two of us, just like a 3-minute quiet sit, and then invite others who are watching to do the same thing. And I picked 3 minutes because I had read some interesting works by some Zen Buddhist teachers who were also engaged with kind of Western scientists. And they were saying that, you know, it's easy to get into the struggle, like, I'm going to do a long meditation, then somehow I'll be, you know, I don't know, enlightened or something. And they were saying, you know, even 3 minutes makes a difference. And that as you're building a meditation practice, you can do 3 minutes and then have your timer go off. And then you can do another 3 minutes. You can do another 3 minutes. You can build your steps of 3 minutes, but you don't need to like fight to sit there and, you know, punish yourself for half an hour or anything. So I thought 3 minutes was a good amount of time. And, you know, I don't know, do you have a meditation practice? Do you meditate?
Yeah, I mean, so what I do is I have a way that I sort of dive into my meditation. And it's, I essentially trace the earth. I'm big into maps, and I know maps. I know the map pretty well. And I can very sort of clearly in my soul, sort of in my head, I can see, quote unquote, that map. And I trace that map as I sort of travel around the world. And, you know, that may sound crazy, but where it builds to is I then disappear into the universe. So that's sort of the path I take. I'm somewhere, and that somewhere calms me as I breathe and go on a journey. And then I'm everywhere. And when I'm everywhere, I sort of get lost in that. So that's kind of my approach.
Interesting.
Well, tell me about yours.
Yeah, I'll just say briefly. So I try to, it's funny to share this so personally. I try to live my life on this simple notion of a strong back and a soft front, like firm in my spine, firm in my values, firm in what I believe, confident about how I try to carry myself in the world, but then not defensive, not aggressive, not needing to fight off whatever's coming toward me. And so strong back, soft front is kind of my mantra for living. And when I meditate, I just sit upright and I lower my eyes. I don't close them. And when I breathe in strong back. And when I breathe out soft front. And so it's like my breath comes into the back part of my lungs and kind of lifts me up. And then when I breathe out, it softens. And I just I gaze down, so I'm not distracted by visual stimuli. And for 3 minutes, I just breathe in and out, saying to myself quietly in my mind, strong back, soft front, strong back, soft front.
We're gonna start with a brief sound meditation. So just soften your gaze. You can even look down towards the floor. Notice your breath for a moment, anywhere in your body where it's easy for you to notice it. So that could be at the base of the nostrils. It can be gently moving in your chest. You might even feel the breath moving all the way down into your low belly. Allow your attention to float from sound to sound. Thank you. all together. Gonna invite in a long breath through the nose for four counts. So breathing in, two, three, four. Exhale through the mouth. Good. One more like that. Breathing in again, two, three, four, and exhale through the mouth. This time, we're gonna exhale with a long extended ah, just on one tone. So your tone might not match mine. So breathing in nice and full.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that one.
Yeah,
I was struck, you know, I guess the principle of meditation is like clear the mind, and I always smile about that because I've been meditating for a long time and I'm not convinced my mind gets terribly clear. Like I have little glimpses where I'm like, oh, it was so peaceful for that split second, but mostly I notice my mind racing, and so if anything, meditation has given me like an awareness that my mind races, not like, oh, somehow I found peace because I meditate. And so with meditation and boxing, two things that I do a fair amount, I don't think I'm really, quote, good at them. You know, like I think we all strive to be really good at things in our lives. Like I want to be the best at that. And I feel like meditation and boxing are two things where I just keep going back to them, you know, regularly, daily, weekly. But I'm not great at them. And maybe it's only in America that we would think like, I want to be great at meditation. Like I imagine in Tibet, they just meditate. But I think it's a good reminder that all these morning rituals, these spiritual practices, it's easy to get judgmental. Oh, I didn't do my practice today. Oh, I didn't journal the right way. And that it's more about doing it and practicing it, not about becoming, you know, the best at it. I think it's committing to it, but not having to try to strive to be a superstar. I don't know what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I definitely strive to be a superstar a lot, and it's the wrong move. Now, I also do the opposite. You know, just a quick story. So I love CrossFit. And a couple of weeks ago, we did handstand pushups and deadlifts. Well, I can't really do handstand pushups. I have a bad shoulder. Plus, I'm not that strong. And I'm 54 years old. I mean, I'm one of the older guys in the class. And basically I went heavier on deadlifts because I'm not macho enough to do the other thing. And like the macho balance was so far out of balance that I blew my back out.
Ugh.
It's just so stupid, you know? And look, surrender as a way of sort of being a person who lives like a recovery life, surrender is something I had to be taught because I come from a family where I love my family, but it's my father's a Marine, my brother's a Marine. Gut it out is the way to get through life. That's the interesting. I mean, I've thought a lot about this in this moment we're in right now. Like the irony is you've got to retreat to help people. Now that's not probably exactly true, but totally agree with what you're saying. And I'm way better at it. I really am much better at it. Maybe that's an ironic way to put it.
Yeah, you said not macho enough, and I thought in not enough anything, there is usually huge insight into what we're struggling with, right?
Yeah.
Whenever the story in my head is I'm not enough, whatever it is, if I take too seriously that like, oh, I'm not enough, but I'm gonna, right? The chances are that thing is headed, on a collision course with disaster. Like I,
yeah.
You know, I'm not being a good enough dad. Well, okay, maybe I'm not. And so I should recommit myself to doing better, but not because I'm, you know, locked into enough, you know?
That's what this is. This is my journal. Now, I'm not a good enough dad. There's a long list there, right? I got my issues. And I find I can communicate with myself here in a way that is actually pretty useful along the lines of things like what you're talking about. And I can write things down like, here's a place where I'm not the kind of father I want to be, or here's a better way to father. I do that.
Do you mind, Tom, sharing a little something from your journal?
No. I mean, for me, the basics of my journal, and I'm pretty much 100% and have been for a few years. I think it's important for me, that there are dates. Every page is a day. Uh-huh. And so there can't be any empty pages. And if I have, I mean, that's later in the year. But, you know, here's the beginning of the year, right? So if there are empty pages, I know it. And it sticks out like a sore thumb. And anyway, but it's gratitude, intention, looking back. Intention is a look forward for me. You know, it's, may I be a better father this day? May I work hard for clarity this day? Like, those are the kinds of things that I would write as an intention. And then I might write things like, I'm traveling too much. It's taking me away from my family and it's making me less useful to my business, you know, and there are ways. And if I read that, or, well, first of all, when I write it, that's where discernment begins, is just an acknowledgement of something. And then when I read it, which, by the way, if I'm honest, I don't read it that often. I don't. But when I do.
Though I don't think you need to. I think the act of recording, you know, they always say, like, if you want to lose weight, write down what you eat. If you want to save money, write down what you spend on. You don't have to decide you're changing. But when you record, the self-awareness that comes with it. So similarly, I think if you want to live a discerning life, if you want to live a loving life, tracking, you know, an intention for the day, a plan for the day, a reflection on the day that documents, I did those things or I didn't, because they're not things that happen in theory, right? They happen actually in time, right? I did that. I, you know, went to the beach and I played in the waves with my son yesterday for 2 hours. Like, that time, you know, riding the waves together and just chatting as we sit in the sand. Like, that's, I put that down. And when I wrote it down, you know, the teary feeling I had of, like, I wouldn't trade that moment for anything in my life. Like, that's living life the way I want to live it. And I captured it here. And that reminds me how good it feels. And it motivates me to do it again.
Yeah. Listen, I want to be clear, if anyone ends up watching this, I'm a freak show. And I am not this guy. And I say that because if you're thinking, like, I will never do that, that's exactly what I said. I am a spastic person who only later in life found my way here. And I've stayed here. I actually am disciplined in certain ways now because I live a better life when I do that. And this sits at the center of my life. Like, this is where I write, did I meditate today? And this is where I consider things I'm not proud of that I did the day before. And over time, I evolved into something that is at least a little healthier than I used to be. And I say that because, like, that's how I was. I've run many marathons. In the beginning, I was like, there's no way I am going to be able to run a marathon. If a Jamoke like me can run a marathon, people can run marathons. You can do this. I want to be clear on that.
I imagine if I'm 51, if your 25 years ago self and my 25 years ago self were sitting here listening to the two of us talking about our meditation and our journal and our intention and our gratitude, those younger selves would be like, what happened to you guys? Like, what happened to you? And I guess what happened to me was that I got tired of racing to have to be perfect and be the best and prove it every day. And that gave way to something.
Yeah. I mean, the line that I use is, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's a real thing. I mean, it's funny because when you were talking about, you said something earlier about, like, you don't feel the clarity or whatever. Often in the moment when you're doing your meditation, I generally do, actually, to a certain extent, but that has evolved over time. What I do feel is I know how much worse my days are when I don't have my routine. That I can promise you. And like, generally if I'm 2 pints deep into Rocky Road Haagen-Dazs, it started with not doing my morning routine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how that day began. So those things, I'm very sensitive to those things now. I used to have, like, had no clue on cause and effect, but that's changed.
Well, I think that's it, Tom. I appreciate you spending a little time together this morning, working through our, talking through our rituals and actually doing some of them together. It was a big deal for me to share what's in here. I don't share it a lot. So thanks for listening and for sharing yours. And I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow morning.
That's great, Simon. I love this. I think this is, there's something here. And I'm glad you're leading the charge here.
Thanks, Tom.
Talk to you soon.